Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad to be here in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
I'm thankful that God brought me out and showed me the way.
Amen.
Encouraging to my heart. God saw something in me that was redeemable.
Yes.
And so I'm glad about that.
Amen.
I believe God sees that in all of us. That's why we're here this morning. Our job is to take full advantage of that by the grace and help of God. This morning, I desire your prayers as usual. Want to give you something from the Lord to help you, encourage you along the way. Something that is necessary and needed, but it's something that we don't always enjoy. All right, and so I want you to raise your hand if you like getting whoopings. All right. Nobody raised their hand that I could see. I don't like them either. But it's something that, you know, when you're raising children, and it's something that when God is dealing with us, sometimes he has to deal with us in a way that we need to be corrected. And the goal is, by the grace and help of God, to live in a way that we don't have to get those severe chastenings, that we don't have to give those severe correctings. But if we do get them, that we respond in a way that is pleasing unto the Lord. The goal is to make heaven our home. And so the message this morning is about chastening. Our text scripture that we want to read. So if you beat me there, go ahead and read it. It's in Hebrews 12 and 6. It's a very, very familiar scripture. But pray for us this morning that we are able to get out what the Lord has for us this morning, and that it be a blessing, be an encouragement to you, that it help you along the way. Hebrews 12 and 6, if you have it, go ahead and read. Yes. All right, it says here, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. All right, and so when we think about our upbringing, we thought about sometimes our mother or our father had to deal with us in a severe way sometimes. And before they would do that, they would tell us that they loved us. And we didn't know what to think about that. Sometimes we didn't believe it after we got chastened. But they told us that they loved us. And so from that understanding, we see where the Lord says, if he loves us, then sometimes he's going to have to chasten us. And so there's a connection between correcting us and loving us. If you love your children, you want them to be a value to the society, if you want them to be helpful and healthy in their mind and soul and body and spirit, then sometimes, unfortunately, you're going to have to chasten them. You're going to have to correct them. And so the Bible teaches us that God does that with us, and then it also, we're going to have a response to the chastening that God gives us. Do you know that when I'm dealing with my children, that they have to be a partner in that correction? Do you know that they can resist that, they can disagree with that, and that they won't get the benefit of that chastening, of that correcting? Same way with God. God comes and he deals with us, and we have an opportunity when he comes and deals with us to humble ourselves and to allow him to direct us and lead us and guide us in the way that we should go. But if we're not willing to do that, then we get no benefit out of what God is trying to do for us at that time. May God help us. There's another scripture in Proverbs 3 and 12. Chastening and correcting is in the same vein. Matter of fact, chastening is described by to correct by punishment or suffering. It's also defined as discipline. All right. And so Proverbs 3 and verse 12. You beat me there. Go ahead and read it. It has some good for us to get an understanding about how we are to be and what needs to happen in our lives. It says here, for whom the Lord loveth, and it's just like the other scripture, but it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. All right, so there's love being shown when God corrects us. A lot of times we don't see it that way. I want us to get an understanding here. Mercy precedes judgment, all right? Precedes means come before, all right? But what happens is many times if we're not willing to accept God's mercy and we're not willing to listen to him while he's extending his mercy, then judgment comes after it. Now, I want us to understand something else as well. The Lord has gotten over to me. Sometimes God's judgment has mercy in it. All right? And depending on how we respond to that judgment has a lot to do with whether we get the mercy or not. All right? And so God is dealing with us and he's working with us. His goal and his desire with his love towards us is to get us to heaven. All right? It says here in Romans 5 and 8, it talks about God's love. I don't know if he can express his love in a greater way than this. While we were doing wrong, while we were disobeying the Lord, he commended his love towards us. Romans 5 and 8, it says here, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All right, and so God is showing his love to us. God is showing his love to us even before we're doing right. He does that for us. And with the goal in mind for us to respond to his dealings with us. All right, in Jeremiah 29 and 11, it talks about what God wants for us. Somebody get that for us and read for us this morning. But I want us to get an understanding here. His chastening can be a part of his mercy. And if we won't respond correctly to his chastening, then comes the judgment. Even in judgment, sometimes God will allow for us to respond in a way, if we will respond in a way that's pleasing unto him, what he'll do is he will extend mercy even then. Somebody read that for us if you have it. Jeremiah 29 and 11.
I know the thoughts that I think before you, saith the Lord.
Yes.
Thoughts of peace, not of evil.
Yes.
Yes.
And so I want us to tie all these things together. If he loves us, he's going to correct us. All right. And he proved that he loves us because while we're still doing wrong, he died for us. All right. And then the way that he thinks about us is in a good way. He wants good things to come to us in our lives. And so this is why God deals with us in the way that he does. You all continue to pray for us this morning. Devil doesn't want us to get out what we're trying to get out this morning. Doesn't want us to be willing to accept how God deals with us. But how is God going to work and deal with us if we don't allow him to work and deal with us? Even if it's a difficult way, even if it seems hard or harsh, may God help us. He has some good in it for us, and that's what he's trying to bring out of it. May God help and bless us this morning. I thought about this in concerning what we were reading in the Word this morning, what we're talking about in Hebrews 11 and 5. We're gonna get to our main body of scriptures, but we have to get through here first because we need to get an understanding of how we are to respond to God's dealing with us, and then we need to see the way that God deals with us in the right way. All right, Hebrews 11 and 5, it reads here, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, I want you to get a hold of this, he had this testimony that he pleased God. All right, so a Christian's responsibility or anybody in general, our goal and our aim and our purpose in life is to please God. All right, we want to live in that way. We're not to live to ourselves. We're not to live doing things that are contrary to the word and the way and the will of God. My first responsibility is I want to please God. All right? I want to live in a way that's pleasing unto him. I can only do this through salvation. I can only do this through listening to how he's dealing with me and being attentive to what he's saying to me and then obeying what God is trying to get over to me. All right? Why I read that is because it's possible. It's possible to please God. It's possible to live in a way that's pleasing unto God. And what will happen then is we'll stay on the side of mercy and stay away from that judgment side. May God help us this morning. Go with me this morning. This is our main body of reading. I appreciate your prayers and your time and your attention, but I want you to continue to pray for me. I want you to go to Daniel 4, and we'll start off with verse number 1. This is also familiar reading, all right? But I want us to get a hold of what is being taught this morning in this reading. All right, Daniel 4 and 1. It says here, it's talking about somebody that we are very familiar with. One thing that will hinder us in when it comes to God and allowing God to deal with us is pride. All right? What the enemy wants to do is give us a spirit of pride, and then when we have that spirit, then God can't deal with us effectively. All right? And so beware of pride. It'll creep up on us. It'll sneak up on us if we're not careful, and it'll hinder us along the way. Daniel 4 and 1, it reads here, Nebuchadnezzar, the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. Now you'll notice here that he's saying some good things, but he is making sure that you know that it's him that's saying it. All right? What does pride go before? Destruction. What does a haughty spirit go before a fall? Is that right? So what happens is when we have pride in our lives, and what's happening with this brother here is he's haughty. He's getting lifted up in pride, you see? And so what it does when we have pride in our lives, what it does is it distorts the vision and it distorts the understanding. We can't see clearly and we can't understand properly. All right, and so here he's showing you the beginnings of something that's going on. And let's read on some more, and let's get a hold of what's going on here. Verse number 4, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. So he's letting you know, I'm doing real well right now. I'm doing big things, all right? And so this is what was going on with me in my big old house. All right, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house, flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. And so something happened here, didn't it? Yes. The Lord was coming to deal with our brother, was he not? Sometimes the Lord will come talk to us. Sometimes he even comes to us in dreams. And he's trying to get you and my attention. May God help us this morning. And so he said he had a dream and it troubled him. I want to encourage you that anytime you're in trouble, anything that is bothering you as you go along the way, there's a scripture in Psalms and chapter number 46, verse number 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It doesn't qualify or quantify what it is. It instructs you, go to him when you're in trouble. All right, and so this brother had a dream and it troubled him. All right, and it says here, therefore, I made a decree, verse number 6, to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, soothsayers, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. Listen, does this sound familiar to you? Had this happened before? Remember when there was the writing on the wall? Who did he call? Magicians and all those other people. Before he called Brother Daniel, who did he call? All those people, right? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen, why are we calling those folks? They couldn't help you last time. Why do we need to call them again? Why couldn't we just have Brother Daniel on speed dial just in case we need him? You see what I'm talking about this morning? But what he did is he called these folks, and he says they didn't tell him the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, and whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him, I told the dream, saying. So he knew that Daniel was a man of God, and he knew that Daniel could help him. Listen, God was dealing with him, and he was troubled about it. And so he was searching for answers. I want to encourage you this morning, when you're searching for answers, go to the one that can give you the true answers. All right? Go to the ones that you know are saved. You're going to end up going to them in anyway. I've noticed that when people really get in some serious trouble, you know who they call? They call the people that's getting their prayers through. They're calling the people that are living alive, that's pleasing unto God. That's who they're calling. They're not calling those people that they might be, almost maybe might be living right. They're calling those that they know are living by the grace of God to all that they know and understand. So why not call them early? Don't call them when it's almost over and you might not make it. May God help us this morning. I mean, call them then too, but why not call them early is what I'm trying to say this morning. All right, Belshazzar. So he says, he told the dream. He says, so number 9, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and interpretation thereof. When it says master of magician, what it means is he's higher than them. He's at a higher level. He's not a magician. He's at a higher level, okay? So he's wanting to know about the dream. Thus were the visions in my head, in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth. And I want you to be thinking about, what could this be talking about? Just anybody in the audience, I want you to be thinking about, what could this be talking about? All right, I saw the tree in the midst of the earth. The height thereof was great, humongous tree. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of the earth. Everybody could see it. It was humongous. All right, and let's talk more about this tree. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. And the beasts of the fields had shadow under it. The fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. All right, this is always a humongous tree. Everybody can see it. Everything that's going on with this tree is good, right? All right, and it says here in verse number 13, I saw the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. All right, so somebody came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches. Right? Humongous tree. Everything is good. Somebody's coming down from heaven and saying, cut this tree down. Cut the branches down. Think about that. All right. Cut down the tree, shake off the leaves, scatter his fruit, and let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender roots, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. All right, so humongous tree, doing a whole lot of good, but something came down from heaven and said, destroy it, all but destroy it. Why would that happen? Why would that happen? Huh? High and lifted up. Remember when he began talking in the first of all, you know all this, you so good, you're in your house flourishing and doing big things, how come you don't know what the dream is then? How come you don't know what the dream means? You see? Yes. But what happens is we get lifted up if we're not, and it's a gradual process. And God comes and he wants to deal with you and with me. Yes. And if we're not careful, we're not listening to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to do it, but not right now. Not right now, Lord. I'll do it in a little while. This is the process. I'm talking about the process where we get lifted up in pride. Yes. And then God, it's hard for God to deal with us. And so judgment has to come. You see, Lord, I know that it's right, but what about this and what about that? We're reasoning and we're negotiating with God why we're in the position that we're in and why we don't want to do what God wants us to do. This is what pride does to us. How can God deal with you and with me if I'm already right in the first place? If I'm in a place where when God deals with me, I let him know where he is wrong. How can God deal with you and with me? Right? And so God comes and he deals and he wants to work with us. Remember, he loves us. He wants good things to happen with and for us. But sometimes when he deals with us, if we won't accept his tender mercies and dealings with us, then something else has to come if we're ever going to get back to where we need to be before the Lord. May God help us this morning. All right, so we're picking up here. It says in verse number 16. So it talks about, let me go back to 15, the last portion. It says, let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let its portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Now we know that we're talking about a person. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. First it's talking about a tree, now it's talking about a person, isn't it? So now we know that the tree is representing somebody. All of this, and the brother still don't know who he's talking about. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God cannot deal with you and I if we have pride inhibiting us from understanding what it is that God wants for us to do, and we're not willing to do it. All right, and so it says here in verse number 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know, pay attention here, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. Do you need any more clues at this point? Do we need any more clues at this point? The Lord is basically laying it out to him in the dream. Yes. He's saying, humble yourself. If thou wilt have the dear Savior from heaven, walk by your side from the morning to the evening. There is one rule that each day you must follow. Humble yourself to walk with God. And so God is coming to him and he's wanting to deal with him. Remember, God allowed him to be king. There was no way for him to be king in the first place unless God allowed it. God blessed him in his kingship. Remember the Daniel in the lion's den. Remember the lean and the fat years. Remember that? God did that. God allowed all of that under his rule. So he blessed him and he set him up. But we have to remember that this is God that has done all of this. This is not me. And there's a place that I must maintain with the Lord if he's going to deal and work with me on a daily basis. May God help us this morning. So we're picking up here in verse number 18. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Now I got a question for you this morning. Do you really believe? Because you and I, we basically know what's going on here, right? You think the wise men, all the wise men in that city and in that country, they didn't know what was going on? You think nobody had no clue of what was going on? Remember, this is the king that's throwing folks in the lion's den. This is the king that's throwing folks in the fiery furnace. If it had been me, one of the wise men, I might have known, but I might not have known. You see what I'm saying? I'm not sure. Let me think about it and get back to you as I'm backing away. You see what I'm saying? Somebody knew something. You see? But God says, I want Daniel to be involved here, because then if Daniel says it, then there's no disputing of what's going on. All right? If a child of God come to you in the Spirit of God, and God, what happens is when God sends somebody to come to you and tell you about something, there'll be something in you. God will convict and work with you with his Holy Spirit. And so then that will come together and you will know that this is from the Lord. Then you have the decision to make. It's not my job to go out and beat people over the head with the Bible. But if God tells me I need to say something to somebody in love and humility for the betterment of their soul, then I'm asking God, give me grace, give me humility, and may it be well received. Because it's not about me. It's about souls making heaven. And so they're going to come to you in that way. And on the back end, God will already have been dealing with you about this. So it comes together, see? God already sent the dream, and then he sent the brother to let him know what was going on. This is how God works. It gives us an understanding here. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonied for 1 hour. Astonied means to be, it's almost like dumbfounded. And not only that, it says for 1 hour and his thoughts troubled him. Now he's worried about it because he know this is the same one that threw me in the lion's den some years back. Right. And so he's saying, I'm going to have to say something to this king. And I don't want him to shoot the messenger, so to speak. All right. And so it says here, the king spake. He said, it troubled him. The king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. What is he saying there? Do we know what he's saying there? He didn't want it to happen to the king. You're exactly right. He's saying, listen, this is God talking to you. What I'm about to tell you, this is God talking to you. It doesn't have to be. This doesn't have to happen to you. But what I'm saying is it could happen to you if you don't humble yourself. So that's what he's saying there. He's saying, Lord, King, he's saying, please take this in the right way. But listen, it doesn't have to happen to you. Do y'all remember Nineveh?
Yeah.
You do? Y'all remember what happened with Brother Jonah? Jonah went down to Nineveh, didn't he? Somebody get that. I believe it's in Jonah 3 and verse 4 and 5. Somebody read that for us before we move forward, because we need to get a hold of this. Listen, God's love is intermingled in correction and judgment.
Yes.
It would be impossible for me to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. It says, spare the rod, spoil the child. So if the child is getting spoiled, what options do I have? Even though I don't want to do it, I have to do it. Or it's God. What God is trying to do is he's trying to keep someone or something from something even worse than what that rod would do. God's chastening, when he deals with us, what he's trying to do is stop us from getting into worse trouble. Something that is irreversible, something that can't be changed, something that is eternal.
Right.
All right? So that's what God is doing with us. So when we think of God's chastening and is dealing with us, what we do is we think of it in a negative light many times. Just like when I was a child, I don't want no whooping, I don't like no whooping, I know that I'm wrong. And I'm not going to do right unless you spank me, but I still don't want no whooping. We can't be that way with God. We can't be that way with God. Lord, what is it that you want from me? Help me to do it right now, Lord, right now. Help me, change me, make me better. I want to be what you'd have me to be. All right, somebody read that in Jonah. Is that right, 3 and 4 and 5?
What exactly?
It's the scripture about when Jonah went to Nineveh and they humbled themselves. Is that the right scripture?
So this Jonah 3 and 6 says, so the word came unto the king of Nineveh.
All right.
And he arose from him.
Yes, that's it.
And laid his robe from him.
All right.
And covered him with sackcloth and
yes.
Yes. And he caused it to be proclaimed.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Let neither man nor beast, bird nor flock, take
yes.
Let them not feed nor drink water.
Yes.
Let man and beast be covered in sackcloth and cry mightily unto God.
Yes.
And let them turn everyone from his evil way.
Yes.
From the violence that is in their hands.
Amen. So in Jonah, what happened was, Jonah came to Nineveh, and his job was to deliver a message. For those that don't know, his job was to deliver a message that, look, it's a done deal. It's going to be, if y'all don't get it together, then it's going to be over. So that's judgment, right? That's judgment. But remember, I said earlier in the scripture that when God, sometimes God will send judgment, and then he's wanting to see how you're going to respond to that. Because before the judgment, there was mercy. There was mercy. And what ended up happening in Jonah, what ended up happening there, Jonah rose, he entered the city, and he told them all that. And then what they did was they said, we're going to humble ourselves from the king on down. Everybody in this whole entire kingdom is going to fast. Lord, have mercy on me. So even in, and what did God do in response? What did he do? Did he go ahead and destroy him? He had mercy, didn't he? All right, so what's the goal here? What's the goal as you and I as a child of God? And we've already stated it. What do I want to do as a child of God? Why don't I just, on a daily basis, as he deals and works with me, yes, Lord, I'm coming. I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. You're going to have to help me to do it, but I'm going to do it by your grace and by your help. I don't want to get to this point where it could be that God, they did all of that and God just sent judgment anyway. He could have done that. He's a merciful God. But what our job is to do is stay in a place of humility, stay in a place of close connection with God as he deals with us, allow him to deal and work with us so that we never even get to these places. All right, so we're reading on in Daniel. Pick up, I believe, in Daniel. What verse are we on? Are we on the number 19? He was astonished for 1 hour, and the king spake, and Belshazzar, let not the dream. So he's telling the king, I don't want this to happen to you. Verse number 20, the tree that thou sawest which grew was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, the sight thereof all the earth, whose leaf was fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all under which the beasts of the fields dwell, and upon those branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown, become strong, for thy greatness is grown, and reaches unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump and the roots thereof in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast of the field till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my Lord. So he told him, I don't want this to happen to you, but this is what is going to happen if you don't humble yourself. Yeah. All right? And so now we get to see what response was had. All right? That they shall drive thee from the men. This is verse number 25. And they and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. So now he's losing his mind. This is the judgment that he's talking about. He's going to lose his mind. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee eat grass as oxen. This is the position that he's from, that lofty position as king, the ruler of all the land, very successful in what he was doing. Now he's being abased, all right? All right, and he says, eat grass with oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. 7 times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree root, so this is God's mercy, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. So if he was to humble himself, then God would have mercy upon him. Yeah. All right, and here is his response. Wherefore, O King, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. So things were all good. You want to continue to be all good? Do what God tells you to do. Stop sinning and be nice to poor people. It's not very hard to do. All right, and so it says here, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom. So what happens is there's a scripture, and somebody may can get it, but it talks about because judgment is not executed speedily. What does it say? Somebody get that. So God told him what needed to be done, and then he gave him time and opportunity. 12 months is an entire year. Right? So he told him what he needed to do, and then Daniel went back to what he was doing, and what happened, as we can see, Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to show you what his response was. All right? At the end of 12 months, this is verse number 29, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And verse number 30, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom of the might of who? Of my power and for the honor of my majesty. God told him what to do, gave him a year to get it done. He didn't get it done. Let's read verse number 31 and see what happens. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. So immediately the consequences began to come. Verse number 32, they shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. Seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and give it to whomever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from the men. He ate the grass. All that was said that was done, it happened. Just like that, it happened. Remember in the Bible, it talks about a man with some barns. Y'all remember that guy with the barns?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? He said, I'll tear down my barns and build greater barns. What do we start the message off with? Mercy precedes what? Mercy precedes judgment. So it wasn't that. See, I used to read that and I say, man, this seems a little bit extreme. This is the first time he said something like this about the barns. But it's not extreme because we know that God is a loving God. We know that he's a merciful God. And so we know that God had been dealing with that man just like he's dealing with Brother Nebuchadnezzar in the Word. Just like he's dealing with you and he's dealing with me. So it's a serious thing when God is dealing with us to have the proper response. To have the proper care for what God is trying to help us with. All right, it says in the same hour was a thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. All those things happened. His nails grew like the bird's claws. The hair grew like the eagle's feathers. His body was wet with the dew. He's out here like an animal. That's how he was. That's how his mind was at that time. God was humbling him. But I want us to be encouraged that God, when he deals with us, what he's wanting is to come to a place where we're willing to humble ourselves. Let's pick up here in Daniel. Where is it where it says he's going to do right? Yes.
Ecclesiastes 8:11.
Read that for us, please.
Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil.
Amen. So just because something doesn't happen automatically, maybe we've done something that we're doing and we feel like it's wrong the first time we do it. But then we go over what God's dealing with us, our conscience, and he's dealing with us, and we do it again, and we do it again and again and again until it becomes the norm for us. What's coming is the judgment. God will deal with us and deal with us and deal with us until the judgment comes. But I want us to be encouraged this morning that there's mercy, and part of God's mercy is to let us know what is happening before the judgment comes and give us opportunity to do something about it. But if something happens, and I want to encourage you this morning, I don't want you to get to the place of judgment, but if you do, you need to please God's mercy.
Yes. Yes.
You need to plead and beg God's mercy. But it would be much better not to get in that fix than to get in it and then try to get out of it. Because there's no guarantee that God is going to continue to extend mercy at that point. It says here in verse number 34, at the end of the days, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up his eyes unto heaven, and his understanding returned unto him. And he blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And so this was a total shift in the way that he had been thinking. He had an understanding now that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And if you exalt yourself, you'll be abased, but if you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. So God allowed him a second chance. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. My counselor and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now listen to verse number 37. I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. He came to an understanding. The reason why we went over this morning is because, first of all, this is what God gave me.
Yes.
But second of all, I wanted you to get an understanding that what hinders us from getting what we want from the Lord in terms of mercy, in terms of grace, in terms of a healthy spiritual relationship with him, which that's the foundation of everything anyway, what hinders us is pride.
Yeah.
That's what hinders us. When God comes and he deals with us, there's something that can be in us that is resistant against it. We have a reason for why we're doing it. We have a reason for why we're not doing it, whatever the case may be, and it'll hinder us. But what we want to do is, by the help and grace of God, is allow him to humble us before we get to the place of judgment. Sometimes judgment is sudden. Sometimes it is irreversible. And so we don't want that to happen to any one of us. What we want to do is value God's mercy, value his grace, live in a way that is pleasing unto him. And then if we get in trouble there, he'll extend grace and mercy unto us. You know, if your child is trying to do the right thing and they have the right intent and they're wanting to do the right thing, if they mess up, you're going to continue to keep working with them and keep working. Come on. Keep coming. You'll get there. Keep coming. But if they're resisting and rebelling and they continue to justify what they're doing, eventually you'll have to give them something a little bit more severe than a talking to.
Yeah. Yeah.
May God help us. Yeah. But which would you rather? Would you rather God to deal with us on this side?
Yeah.
Or would you rather God to allow you to go on and be lost?
Yeah.
May God help us. I appreciate your time and your attention. I know the subject is not something that is comfortable or easy to accept or absorb, but I pray that God would bless you in your mind and in your heart, in your spirit, that you accept the word of God. And if God is dealing with you, if he's working with you, then consider that to be a good thing. Consider that to be his mercy and his love to you. And if you have a need in your soul, move now.
Yes.
Move now. Get the help that you need now before you get to the place where something more severe may happen. May God bless and help us this morning. I appreciate your time and your attention. Pray for me. I'm not in heaven yet.
Yes.
And I want to live on the side of mercy. I want to live on the side of grace. I want to be humble and stay humble so God can work and deal with me. I appreciate your time and your attention, your prayers for me. Continue to pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. I will be praying for you. I thank you.